What we'll do when we start is we'll go around and let each of you state your name, when you were born, and where you were born to have you all identified on the tape, and then we'll get started with the questions, okay? And we'll just start over here and go around.
Okay. I'm Verona. Well, you want my married name or my...
Why don't you give us your maiden name and your married name?
Merle Taylor Nobles. And I was born August the 10th, 1920. And I was born on a farm about 3 miles east of Keys.
Okay, I'm Lorraine Stiles Livingston Palmer. And I was born October the 17th, 1921, about 9-10 miles east of Keys on the farm.
All right.
At home.
We'll get back to those.
I'm Ora Hagen Burns. I was born March the 9th, 1912, Trinidad, Colorado.
How do you spell your first and middle names?
My middle name?
Your first name, too. Is it Ora?
O-R-A, uh-huh.
Or just easy enough. Hagen?
Hagen, H-A-G-A-N. You spell it every direction.
Burns.
E in there somewhere.
1912, okay.
In Trinidad, Colorado, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And finally, the pioneer, Santa Fe Trail Days Queen.
Yeah, I'm Mildred Hammondtree Williams. Two M's, Hammondtree.
Okay.
And I was born on the farm 4 miles west of Keys. However, Keys was not here.
In what year?
In 1918, January 1918.
I feel old.
Well, Ms. Burns, we'll start with you since you were not from Keys, and we'll come back to Keys in just a second. How did your family get from Colorado to Keys?
Covered wagon. I don't remember, though. I was about two, so I don't remember
any
about it.
Yeah. Do you remember, if you were two, that would have been in about 1914, okay, into Keys. And the rest of you lived in Keys your whole lives, I guess.
Out in the country and in Keys.
Yeah.
We lived on the farm out east of Keys. My mother and daddy homesteaded in 1906 out there, and that's where I was born. But we moved to town when I was 4 years old. We built a house here in town, and I moved to town when I was 4 years old.
Okay, so would you consider your upbringing to be more urban or more rural? As urban as Keys gets, I guess.
Well, at the time we built our house, that was the only dwelling house in Town of Keys.
Yeah. Wow.
It was the first one that was built in the town of Keys.
I didn't know that.
How about you? Would you say you had a more rural?
Yes.
Yeah?
I just grew up, I was born 4 miles west of Keys, and I grew up there, and then I got married, and then I lived in Keys. I moved up a step.
Yeah. Yeah. So, those of you from the Keys area, and you too, when you moved to Keys, what did your father and mother do? Were they farmers? Did they have a business? What did they do?
My father worked for the Star Lumber Company.
What did he do for the lumber company?
Until he retired.
Yeah. What did he do for them?
He worked for the Star Lumber Company.
Sold lumber and hardware stuff, didn't they?
I saw a Star Lumber sign in the museum. They had a big advertisement for Star Lumber.
There's
Star Lumber Company here at Keys, and there was Star Lumber Company at Elkhart. And my dad worked for the one here at Keys.
Okay. How about you?
My parents were farmers. They were farmers. Mm-hmm.
Did they have mostly crops or cattle?
Had both, but mostly crops.
What kind of crops did they raise?
Raise wheat and raise milo, raise feed to feed the cattle. They had cattle also, but it was not a ranch. It was a farm just with cattle on farming.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How about
my dad was a farmer. And they did about the same thing her dad did.
Yeah.
Had a few cattle, too.
Do you remember the house where you grew up? And
yes.
What did it look like?
Oh, yes, I remember it well, and I know Mildred does.
Yeah, I had mine all in my life story in the Boise City paper, all about my house,
yeah.
Our house.
So and what was it like?
Anyhow, well, when my dad first built the house, it was just a two-room house with an upstairs, and I was born in that house, and we girls had a bedroom upstairs. Nothing was finished up there. You could see the nails and the black paper and all that in the ceiling, you know. But anyhow, that was our bedroom up there. And my parents, actually, their bedroom was in the living room, you know, because just a two-room house, you know. And then our kitchen and dining room together. But it wasn't very long until my dad built two rooms onto this house, and it was really a nice big house, and we had four rooms. Of course, no bathroom, but but anyhow, then we felt like we had a lot of room, you know. I felt like we did.
How many people lived in the house? You and your parents, and how many siblings?
I have two sisters and one brother. There was four of us. My brother was younger, and then my sisters were quite a little bit older.
Sounds familiar?
Yeah.
Sure.
What was your house like?
Well, it's the same house that's out here on the farm now.
Yeah?
That I own, yeah. And we've got the original patent on that land where Mother and Daddy homesteaded in 1906.
How many rooms does it have? How many rooms are in the original house?
Three.
Yeah? Well, all right, and how many people live there?
Four.
Four of you all together?
Four of us, Mother, Daddy, and Margaret, and me.
Same sort of thing?
Well, sort of, I guess. My parents, this was a second marriage for both of them, and this was my dad's homestead. And they all homestead about the same time, about 1906 and all. And we had four rooms, and do you know what black tar paper is? Well, that's what the house was covered in on the outside. I can remember it really well. And then in 1928, my folks built a house here in town, and we moved to town. And we brought two milk cows. This is Keys City Limits. And some pigs and some chickens. We had a chicken house. We had a place for the pigs. And we had a barn for the two cows. We milked cows. We fed pigs and we fed chickens. We had eggs and milk and cream and pork to eat.
Fried chicken too, but...
Yeah, right, yeah, chickens to eat. And then there was grassland about two blocks south of where the house was built. And that was fenced. My dad fenced in, and he took the cows down there of a morning after he milked them and let them graze on the grass. And then of an evening, he'd go back and get them, milk them again, and shut them up in the barn all night. And then repeated it.
I didn't realize all that.
Yeah. We sold we sold milk 10 cents a quart. This was during the Dirty 30s.
Yeah.
And I can't remember how much we got for eggs. I want to think 15 cents a dozen, but I'm not sure. I just can't remember that.
Yeah.
But I remember 10 cents a quart for milk.
Getting 11 cents a dozen for eggs.
Well, we may have not gotten... I don't really remember how much we got for eggs. But we were fortunate. We were a lot better off than a lot of people. We had our own milk. We had our own eggs, we had chickens, and we had pork to eat. So we had lots of gravy, too.
Butter? You had your own butter?
Yeah, we had butter. Mm-hmm. That's right.
So what was the best thing to eat? What was your favorite thing?
My mother made everything taste good, whether it did or not. She would tell me how good it was.
Until you believed it, too.
I believe my mother. See, I was the only child of this marriage. And I had two half-sisters and a half-brother. And, the youngest was 16 years older than I was.
Oh, wow.
Were you spoiled?
I imagine. I imagine I was spoiled, don't you? But my mother took the spoiling out of me because she believed in punishing me, and it was a hard thing for her to keep me in control. Her other daughter was ladylike, and this daughter was tomboy. I climbed the windmills. I did everything I wasn't supposed to.
So would that be something you would get in trouble for, climbing on the windmill?
Oh, yes, I got a lot of them.
Yeah.
But I went back and did it again. It was so much fun. Not now. I wouldn't get up there for a lump of money now. But it was fun.
How about for you?
We lived in a dugout, two rooms.
And we
had
what was that
the
like?
Same things. You had cattle and chickens and pigs and everything, lots of cats and the dogs and all those things.
How long did you live in a dugout?
Well, I was probably about four when we moved there, something like that. I might have been five. And then I was a sophomore in high school when they built another little house.
Oh, wow. So for several years.
Mm-hmm.
And how many people were living in the dugout?
Five.
Oh, my gosh, can you imagine? You must have liked each other. Oh, gosh. Well, so what was a typical day like? When you get up in the morning, you eat breakfast, then what did you do?
Right now.
Well, when you were living in the dugout, what would you do?
Well, we always had cows and milk, chickens to take care of, farm work to do. Summertime, you always had garden, had to work in the garden. I hated that, but I enjoy it now.
What was your favorite chore? Something you said, well, that one's not so bad. I don't mind doing that one.
Well, I used to have herd cattle too a lot, but I guess that wasn't too bad.
Yeah. How about any of the others of you? Something you had to do, you thought, yeah, that was all right. That wasn't so bad.
Well, you know, I had forgotten about it, but I rode a horse. And the only way I could get on that horse was to go in the barn where the stanchions were and climb up on the stanchion and get on the horse. And I rode that horse all over that area out in the country. If one time I went after the mail, and it was about probably about 3/4 of a mile from the house. And I slid off of the horse when I was getting the mail out of the mailbox.
Yeah.
I had to walk and lead the horse back to the barn to get it back on it.
I had trouble getting the horse too. We get the horse to get his head down, and we throw our foot over it, and then we raise the head up while we go through backwards and have to turn around and then forward.
I wasn't that smart.
There was a fence handy while we climbed up on the fence and then got on.
Do you remember the name of your horses that you rode?
Nellie.
Ranger.
Ranger yes. Seems to be a popular name for pets. And
well, that was an old man who lived there fair close. When he left, he gave my sister that horse. So we thought, he gave it his mother. And that horse was born then. And we thought that was the most wonderful horse there was. We thought it was really pretty, but really it was an ugly horse. Instead of back going down like they do, you know, it back just kind of went up. But he was a good car horse, so we remembered it a lot.
Oh, Mrs. Devils, what was your least favorite chore that you had to do? Something you just went, oh, man.
I didn't have any chores I had to do. For
Didn't have to clean up your room or wash dishes or anything. You just think, ugh.
No. My sister was older than me, and she's the one that done most of the housework and stuff like that. I was like Lorraine. I was a tomboy. I followed my daddy everywhere he went.
What did your neighbors do? You lived in town. What did the people living around you, what did they do? Well, your dad's working at the lumber company.
There wasn't anybody living very close to us. I don't know what, but about 4 blocks, I guess. The closest house would be about 4 blocks from where we lived. And we weren't allowed to go out across the street or anything when I was a kid, playing ball or anything, unless we asked Mother.
Yeah.
And if the ball rolled across the street, we just had to leave it there, and she'd let us go get it.
What was she worried about? I would think if there weren't very many people, there wouldn't be... Why did she not want to get across the street?
The Millers, Albert Millers, is the ones that lived closest to us, and they had a whole house full of kids. I don't know how many there were, about 10 or something like that, kids, the Miller kids. And they always managed to come down to our house and play, because I was usually the one that had the ball and the mitt and the bat and stuff to play baseball with.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were talking a while ago, you know, Merle's father worked for the Star Lumber Company. He worked for a salary. Of course, you know, it was not a lot. Mm-hmm. But money went a lot farther then. Dollar went a lot farther, didn't it, than it does now.
It sure did.
But, you know, he had a salary for everybody. Most people were all just dependent on what they could eke out of the land, which was nothing during the dirties.
We always got a quarter a piece for allowance every week.
What would you spend your allowance on?
I used to save mine, and I'd loan it to my sister and make her pay me double back. Well, she liked to buy lipstick and rouge and stuff like that, and I didn't.
That's pretty smart, actually, using your allowance to make money.
But my daddy always, we had a real dark green international pickup, and he always took us to school and went and got us at lunchtime and took us back to school, and then at 4 o'clock he'd come back and got us and brought us back home.
Now, I walked back and forth to school, dirt and all. Sometimes you would cover an old red bandana you'd put over your nose and leave just enough room to see. And there's been many a time you couldn't even know where you were. And do you remember, Merle, when we had play practice?
Yeah.
And somebody would have a car and they'd be taking us home and we'd be clear out of town down Herman Miller's corner. And we didn't even know where we were. Did you not get in on that?
I don't guess I did. I don't remember us ever
getting did they lost get lost in the dark?
Yes.
Yeah, how did they get back?
Well, you just kind of stop and figure out where you were.
And sometimes it lit up.
Yeah, it didn't blow just where you couldn't see 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
But it was, I started working in the grocery store when I was in the sixth grade. The people who had the grocery store rented an apartment for my folks. And I worked there all through high school. Boy, did I make the money. 25 cents from 4 o'clock of an evening to 10 o'clock of a night. And 50 cents for all day Saturday. Then I got a raise. It was 50 cents on weekdays from 4 o'clock to 10 o'clock. And on Saturdays, I got a dollar. I was rich. I bought all of my school clothes. I bought all of my books. Even bought some groceries. And Aura's husband used to bring in 30 dozen
eggs.
Crate of eggs every week. I remember back.
Did you have to kettle the
I can tell you about the first live dirt storm that came.
I was going to ask, what was it like the first
time? It's in 1933.
Right? Was it 33?
I thought it was. Okay. Anyhow, I lived out on the farm all my life until I was married. And we had visitors for dinner on Sunday, and it was Ford's.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a double funeral in Boise City, and it was this Grandma Shaw, Shaw.
Yeah.
And then her grandchild, which was probably a year old. And they had their funerals, you know, together at the same time. And so when that funeral was over, just like any other time, everybody goes and gets in their car and they start leaving. And they were taking these bodies to Visalia, Oklahoma for burial. And so this is the direction we come to come home, you know. We lived like, I don't know how far it is, 12 miles now, we call it. But then it was probably 15 miles because we didn't have any angle, you know. We didn't have any railroad down here.
Yeah.
And we started out, and we saw this in the north, just a low line of real dark, looked like clouds. And it was, in the middle of summer. And
And boy, it was just moving up so fast, those dark clouds. And the first thing we knew, it was just way up here. And by the time we were out of Boise City, like probably maybe 5 or 6 miles, well, that that cloud was almost on us. So the hearse, they just turned out of the middle of the road into the, which was level, like in the ditch, and headed south and stopped. And all the funeral cars did the same thing. Well, we were a little bit behind, and we saw this house off the road about, oh, a quarter of a mile or something, farmhouse. Mm-hmm. So we just decided we'd go down to this house. It was Emily and Edna and Miss Ford and Mom and I. Mm-hmm. And we went, we pulled right up to the door, and this was just almost on us, black. And we pulled up there and opened the door and knocked on the door, and this old man came to the door, and we said, can we come in and stay till this storm's over? He said, well, there's not anybody here but me. And we said, well, we don't care. And we all filed out of the car and went in that house, and he was staying there taking care of that farm while the people were gone. I guess he was an old bachelor, I don't know. And when we all went in, he lit his lantern and went out to the barn and stayed out there all that time. He didn't even stay in the house with us. But we stayed in that house, and it got so black that you couldn't even see the window. Yeah. You couldn't tell a window from the side of the wall. And so anyhow, finally late in the evening then, real late, I think I know we had to use our lights. But we could see the side of the road enough to get on home to my folks' place out there, and it was night. But that was the first black dirt storm that we had here, and it surprised everybody. Even though we had wind and dirt, but we'd never had anything roll up like that. Have you seen pictures? You've probably seen
pictures. I've seen pictures of it, and I can't imagine sitting there and not being completely terrified.
Just boiled
see that. Yeah.
Over and over and over, didn't it?
But anyhow, I don't know how long the funeral people sit there, but we stayed in that house for a long time, even though the old man didn't really want to stay.
Do you remember who that was or what place
I used to remember their names, but I don't know. But that house has moved away, and you can't even tell now there was ever a place there.
Well, the first real black dirt storm we had, I was out to Grandma Taylor's. She lived about 5 miles out of town, and I usually spent every weekend out there with her, if I could. And she put a quilt over her dining table, which was one of those big round tables like they nearly everybody used to have, and lit the lamp and set it under there and put the cookie jar under there and put me under there. And I while she went out and got her chickens in and everything, and then as soon as she got them in, well, she come and crawled under the table with me. We sat under there till that storm was over with.
Do you guys remember Black Sunday?
Oh, you bet. We had just gotten home from Elkhart. My nephew and I had gone to Elkhart, and we were baptized that day. Just gotten home, and here this thing is boiling up, you know, and it looked like rain. You know, it looked like it was going to rain. My dad went out to put the car in. They had to get the chickens in and all that. And before he got back to the house from putting the car in the garage, you couldn't even see your hand in front of your face. Is that what I want to say? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just black, black, black. He had to stay out there until it kind of let up just a little bit. He didn't know where the house was. He couldn't even see it. Had electricity. We probably had all of a 40 watt, maybe 25 watt bulb, but you couldn't see it. But it was terrible, terrible.
How about for you?
Well, I didn't see the Black Sunday, but after we came back, we could went outdoors and see one coming. You know, it just kind of rolling along that way. So Washington got pretty close and ran back in the house real quick. And then after a while, it was real black, you know, and it started to rain. And even though it was raining, you couldn't even see your hand in front of your face.
Mm. Rain mud, didn't it?
I guess so.
So how did you deal with these dust storms coming all the time? What would you do to prepare for one? And to clean up after one.
Well, you waited till it was over to clean up.
Yeah.
And then you knew it'd be right back there again. Yeah, our house was pretty new because it was built in 28. But we still got dirt. We still got dirt. Merle was talking about that they didn't get much dirt, but it seemed to me like we got quite a bit. Of course, I was the only one that, you know, besides my parents, so I got in on a lot of the cleaning up of the dirt. You'd clean up, and usually the main thing, you'd have to always wash the table and everything. You didn't keep anything on the table that wasn't covered. I think my mother used a tablecloth to cover the whole table. But even then, you'd have to wash the dust off of the table before you'd eat. But we always ate. It was not nearly as bad for children as it was for parents, you know, because they were going through the financial strain, and kids don't appreciate that, you know, as long as there's something to eat, something to do, and play games and happiness. That's all kids need.
So what were kids doing to entertain themselves? What were you guys doing for entertainment and fun?
Seemed like we always were doing something.
I know what I did. I played the piano.
Yeah.
I don't know what we done, but after supper, nearly every night, while we played music.
Played what, Merle?
Music. Played music.
Oh.
Daddy played the French horn, yeah. Mother played the guitar, Mark played the piano, and I played the violin.
Oh, okay.
In the summertime, while we'd sit out on the front step and play, and all the neighbors by that time that was all anywhere around, they'd all congregate and listen to us.
How about for you? What did you do to entertain yourself?
Well, of course, it was three of those kids. We played games a lot, and we played checkers and dominoes and tiddly winks. I don't know if anybody knows what tiddly winks are, not jacks and things like that. Then later on, my brother got a baseball on the bat, so the kids played ball. Well, the three of us couldn't do much, but we just batted and tried to catch them.
Yeah. I guess you guys played baseball too with the neighbor kids next door.
Well, they were what you'd call next door, but we played baseball.
Yeah.
I always got included because I had the equipment.
You know, when Keys got a little more populated, like, then we got together more. There were a lot more kids. But yeah. During that time...
How old was we when Mother made us those yellow Easter dresses? Do you remember?
Boy, I don't remember for sure. We were two.
You said that was the first... homemade dress that you'd ever had. Me and her dresses just alike, and they were yellow.
Merle and I grew up together, went to school together, and graduated together. And I even was Cupid. You remember Merle. I told him I would be Cupid if the marriage lasted. But if it didn't last, I had nothing to do with it.
So tell us, how does Cupid do his work?
Oh, boy, I made a 4-H trip. Now, this was still some dirty times then, to Stillwater.
Uh-huh.
And her husband, which was not her husband, she didn't even know him then, he went with us on that trip, and I met him then. And I'm the one that had the date with him that night, and he brought another boy. And Merle and I were running around together, so I gave her the other boy, and I was with her. 2B. And he took me home first. And then he took Merle home. And the poor boy that Merle was with sat in the car all that time that he was in the house with her. And the next day at school, Merle said, "Oh, I really like him. I hope that you're not upset about it." I remember she was worried. She probably was afraid I was going to be mad.
So what did you do whenever the four of you went out on that first date?
I don't know what we did. We never had any money. We didn't go anywhere to spend money, did we?
First time I went with Gordon, we went to Boy City to a movie.
Yeah, but that was not that time.
No, that was...
That was when I went with Gordon, and what was that other boy's name? One Taylor, was it?
Yeah. How long after this date swapping did you marry your husband? How long?
Well, that picture over there is our 50th wedding anniversary.
Oh, wow.
Picture.
Well, they got married pretty blind quick.
No, it was what, about 6 months or so?
Yeah.
And then we got married the first day of January of 1939.
And we graduated from high school in 39.
Okay.
Well, I did. Okay. So, see, it was pretty quick. It was love at first sight for both of them. And I liked Gordon real well. He was a good friend. But, you know, I didn't have any love. Now, that doesn't sound right. I didn't have aspirations of a future with him.
Yeah.
That sound better, doesn't it? But we were good friends. And I thought it was kind of neat.
That's a great story.
Yeah, I was glad to be able to be Cupid. Especially since it lasted.
How about for you? Do you remember how you met your spouse?
Oh, gosh. It seems like I knew him a lot. But he was... when he was in high school, like when he was a senior, I was in the seventh grade. So, you know, there was nothing going on there. And besides, and when he was in high school, he had another girlfriend that he really meant to marry. And but she moved away to Arizona, and he didn't get her. So then later on, he started dating me. I don't remember how or when. But I think the first date that I had with him, and I had never gone with him. Oh, I had two or three guys that my sisters knew by teaching. They were in their schools. But anyhow, when he came after me, I was out in pasture on the moors after the cows on our first date, because I had to go get the cows and I didn't start out in time, or he came early or something.
Yeah.
But anyhow, he drove up in his 28 Chevy and I was out there. But anyhow, I got the plows in, and then I got in and I got ready, and I suppose we went to the show, I don't know. A lot of times we'd go down by Lake Willbar and sit there and sing. He sang and I sang and we'd sing. Sit there and make love.
It didn't take a lot of money then to go on a date, did it? I had a date with John Key Vanetta for, I think, 3 months. His uncle was going to loan him the car, but he had to get enough money to put the gas in and the movie ticket. And I think we had that date 3 months before he got enough money to do all that. I remember that.
How much did it cost to get to the movies?
I wanted about a dime.
Yeah.
I think.
I don't know.
I think it was about a dime.
Yeah, I know that. What was I going to tell about it? Something I had on my mind. Oh. When I was a senior, my folks planned on me going to college, you know, but I didn't plan on me going to college. I had enough school. I thought, boy, if I can ever get out of high school, that's all I want of school. I want to get married. So Ardith, my cousin, was going to college over at Goodwill. So my folks let me go over there and stay with her. We call it light housekeeping, you know, you have a little two room. In this lady's house, so I actually finished high school at Goodwill, but I don't ever mention that when we're, you know, I just go ahead and say I graduated here. But anyhow, I went to Goodwill because I think they thought that would maybe kind of separate me from Lloyd, but it probably even made it worse.
Yeah,
because he came over there, but then after I graduated from high school in May, we got married in August. In 37.
I remember one time, and I don't remember if it was Herman or Cody that I went with over there, and Lloyd. We all went over there to see you. I don't recall that we did anything particular except together and talk and visit.
Yeah.
That was the main thing that people did then, wasn't it?
And when he came over there one time, my cousin Melvin came with him because Ardith, his Melvin's sister, you know, and so they stayed a little kind of late up in our apartment. We fixed our food and everything, and the awfulest dirt storm came up. I mean, it was bad, And it just looked like you couldn't see across the street, you know. So they just stayed up there in our room, which was against the rule for girls to have boys up in their room after a certain hour, you know.
Yeah.
And so we tried to be quiet because it was really late. And, I don't know, it must have been after 12 o'clock at night. And that dirt kind of quit blowing a little bit. But we didn't want this lady to know that the boys had been up there, even though one of them was her brother.
Yeah.
And so they tipped down the stairs, and there's a bathroom, and our bathroom was at the foot of the stairs for everybody in that house, and there was a lot of bodies in that house. And so one went down and slipped on out real easy, mm-hmm. and then the other one went down, and the car was pretty close to the back door where they went out. And they pushed the car out into the street and down the street before they ever started the motor because they didn't want to get caught. We didn't want to get caught. They wouldn't have had to suffer any. But anyhow, then we made noise as usual, just tripping down the steps to go to the bathroom, you know, just like as usual. But it was very late at night, so I don't know where she ever woke up or not. But we were kind of afraid of her.
So you don't know if she ever knew about that?
No.
If she did, she didn't say anything.
Dirt storm days.
I tell you, very few bathrooms back then, too.
Yeah.
We had the path.
Yeah.
You heard of the path.
Tell us about the path.
Yeah.
Out to the outhouse.
Yeah, the outhouse, the path. In the winter, it was so cold to go out there. You just didn't go unless you just absolutely had to. And in the summer, I was always scared of spiders and bugs, and it was bad. I never flush a stool, but what, I'm not thankful. I remember that outhouse.
So when did you get into your plumbing?
What'd you say, Merle?
I say spiders won't hurt you. I used to play with spiders all the time.
I know you did, but I didn't like them.
Like the Black Widow.
We didn't have the same likes.
Yeah.
Did we, Merle? I didn't like the spiders, and I sure did not like the snakes.
Well, they won't hurt you.
They're not going to hurt me.
You hurt yourself, but they don't hurt you.
You want to give them a chance.
No, I don't intend to give them a chance, and I still don't intend to.
Do you remember when you first got indoor plumbing? Do you remember when you first got indoor plumbing?
Well, we had a bathroom in our house when they built it.
Yeah.
And
did you have the fixtures?
Yeah, but we had to have a big 5-gallon can under the, you know, on the stool part and stuff. Daddy usually emptied that every morning and out in the
outhouse.
You had an indoor outhouse.
Yeah, an indoor outhouse.
But, I mean, that's what we used, you know. Mm-hmm. But Daddy usually carried his bucket out early every morning and stuff.
Well, when my
don't
folks...
Don't you remember us having the bathroom? Right.
Well, I guess I don't. I'm pretty big, didn't even know what it was.
We had a bathtub and the lavatory and the stool. Yeah.
We had the bathroom without any fixtures when the house was built.
Well, we put the fixtures in when they built the house. So.
But it was a lot of years before we had.
Before of course, you had to carry your hot water from the kitchen into the bathtub.
Yeah.
Miss Burns, do you remember when you first got indoor plumbing?
When what?
Do you remember when you first got indoor plumbing?
Well, it was a long, long time. I've been married quite a while before we had.
Yeah.
Probably, I guess we went to Grand Junction. We went to Grand Junction and lived there 1 year, and then we had that. And we came back, we finally had all the phone.
How about electricity? Do you guys remember when you first got electricity?
Yes.
I do.
Yeah?
Well, first, actually, we had they call it a wind charger.
Yeah.
And that was just like electricity to us. But that's your own little private thing. But, as far as the electric line going out there, that was in, let's see.
It was in the 40s.
Yeah, it was after
40s.
I was married.
Yeah.
You know, all you had was either your own, however you did it, your coal oil lamp or your gas lantern. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We used to. We had some gas lantern, I guess we called it. And we had what you called a rail lamp.
Yeah.
That with a little, it made it kind of a white light. It was not that bad.
Aladdin lamps.
Yeah, Aladdin lamps.
That was good light.
I had Mother and Daddy's Aladdin lamp, and I moved to town, and my son wanted it, so I give it to him.
Well, Annie's got out of the farm, my sister. He has the folks, and Emily had it, and also hers, and I told Dina the other day, I'm going to tell Annie I wanted the lamps. Mm-hmm. Didn't matter that much.
Be nice to put it in the museum.
Well, yeah.
Because I don't know what happened to the folks, the Aladdin lamp. But it would be nice because, you know, nobody has seen them except that era.
Right.
Well, when we moved to town, we had electricity, but it didn't run much. It was down there, where it was generated was down there in the, where the Phillips Station used to be. Remember that? Gabriel's?
I can't remember when we first got electricity. I know when we first lived in town and stuff, you know, we used lamps. But,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I don't remember when we...
We had electricity in 28, but we had one plug-in. Let me see, that was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I guess about 6-room house. We had one plug-in. And... that was by the ironing board. The ironing board was built in. My mother, we had rented the basement at that time to the people that ran the TM deal, lumber yard. It's the competition to where her dad worked. And they had moved here from Hutchinson. My mom was, of course, a country gal. This lady was a city gal. And Mom was going to iron one day, and you know how these plug-ins that screw into where a light bulb screws in?
Uh-huh.
That wouldn't go into this plug-in. So my mother has to go downstairs and get Miss Coons to come up there. So she pulls that off and then plugs the iron in the plug-in.
What happened?
You know, we didn't know. That was first electricity we'd ever had.
Yeah.
And we didn't know.
Huh.
And kind of a funny thing about that, my dad always gave the pigs the dishwater.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did too.
Yeah. And, of course, they lived in the basement, and there was no way water out down there. We did have water in, but they had to carry it out. Yeah, had to carry it out. And... And I remember him telling Mrs. Coons, the lady that lived there, that just save your dishwater and I'll carry it out to the pigs. Mm-hmm. Bless her little heart, she strains that dishwater so good. Took all the good stuff for the pigs out of it. And so he saw it was just pretty good water. He told her, he said, you don't have to strain that. We just give it to them like that. So see, the country gal came to town and learned about town ways, and the town gal came to the country and learned about country ways.
Well, talking about the Dirty 30s and the Dust Bowl, did anyone in your families leave? Any of your neighbors or friends?
Oh, well,
did they walk?
People
leave Oklahoma?
Yes, my grandparents, they walked off. The sand was piled so high, I mean, all around the house, this sand drifts, kind of like snow drifts, only higher. Mm-hmm. And they loaded up all they could load in a car and I think a little old trailer. And they had one son that was still at home, you know. He's 10 years older than I am. But anyhow, they went to California and they just left it all. And it went back. The land went back to the state or something, and then they sold that state land then years and years later, and that's when my sister bought that. There was a lot of state land here because people just went off and left it because, well, they couldn't make anything, and they were down in spirit. Mm-hmm. My folks didn't leave. My dad would have left. He would have gone back to Arkansas, though. And Mom said, nope, we're not leaving. We're going to stay here. We're going to make it, you know, sometime. That was her spirit. Regardless of what happened, we're going to stay. And so they stayed.
What did your grandparents do in California?
Boy, out of old, they picked fruit. They had two sons and wives, too, who also went out there. I don't know that they all went together, but in time. And they went up in the, oh, I don't know, it's around Sunnyvale. And up in there where they have fruit in California. They picked fruit.
And did they stay in California, or did they eventually
Well, they stayed there most of the rest of their lives. My grandmother passed away out there.
Yeah.
And then my granddad came back here and stayed there the rest of his life here. That wasn't too many years that he was back here, mm-hmm. probably. Mm-hmm. I really don't know. Maybe 8 or 10 years.
Yeah.
Well, I remember real well.
Yeah.
But I've been here forever.
But we thought that was awful when they just left. And they had a pretty nice house, too. It was a lot better than the one we had. It had more rooms in it.
Yeah.
They just went on. And nobody lived there all for many years. There was nobody, of course, there.
Then Nobody else from your family lived into it?
Not until Emily, then my older sister, when they had what they called the land sale. Mm-hmm. Why, she bought that place.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
And then she lived there all of her life. And she was, how old was she when she passed away? 90?
Yeah, 90.
About forget. Mm-hmm.
Huh. Yeah,
a couple years ago.
Wow.
And she stayed out there even after her husband was gone. You know, up in her 80s, well, probably through most of her 8 years, mm-hmm. she lived out there alone, and boy, she didn't mind that. She led that, and I'm different. I wouldn't have ever stayed out there all night by myself.
Aura stays out, way out from town, by herself, too.
Yeah?
You don't have very close neighbors anymore either,
no,
do you?
No, I don't.
Guess you like it, though.
Yeah,
why do it if you don't like it?
I think when you've lived there all your life, that's what makes the difference.
I think we were out there the day that her morning, or sometime during the day that her husband passed away, and I'm sure that her kids had been planning on moving her to town or something, because what she said, I'm staying right here. This is my home. Do you remember telling us that?
I think I did.
Yeah, I remember you said that. And she's been there.
And she'll stay there.
Yeah.
Did you know other people, though, that left?
I had two friends that their parents moved to Ponca City, Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And then they came back after things settled down and lived here.
And but the Wilbarths left and went to Arizona. The Kincaids left and went to Arizona.
Yeah.
And it seemed like, let's see, down south. Well, there were different people like who lived out on out southwest. Like
a lot of them
Brewers.
That I did not know then, because you did not know the people except the ones that you could almost put your arms around. You know, it was foreign.
Right, close to you.
Right, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't ever remember anything being said between my parents about leaving.
Yeah.
I never considered the fact that we might, so I don't believe they ever said anything.
Mm-hmm.
Or I would have surely been kind of worried that we were going to move.
Yeah.
And you know, Charlie and Ona.
Yeah.
They took their family and moved to Delta, Arizona. And
yeah,
lived
that's
up there
right.
for 2 or 3 years, mm-hmm. and then they came back.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody that left practically came back, didn't
mm-hmm.
they?
Yeah, a lot of people.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. First or last.
Well, do you remember as you were growing up and living in this area, other people going through, like maybe tramps or hobos coming through town on their way somewhere else? And what was the reaction to those people?
You fed them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You fed them.
And yeah. I would always be, when I was a kid, young, mm-hmm. I'd be so scared when I saw we used to call
hobo
them a paddy or a
tramps.
Hobo. And they'd have a little sack mm-hmm. usually over their shoulder with what they had in it. It wasn't much. Clothes, I guess. Mm-hmm. And they'd come knock on the door and want to know if you could give them something to eat. And you'd give them something to eat and they'd walk on down the road. But mm-hmm. I was always afraid of them.
Do you ever have them do any work around the house for their food?
I can't remember that we did. There might have been.
I
think we'd just feed them and they'd go on down the road.
I remember one time that gypsies came through. And we were still living on the farm then. And I was up, my dad, you know, you farm with horses. And he had a sled that you put a barrel on the back and then you'd fill that barrel with water, and that was my job. I wasn't very old, but I'd drive that horse and take that water up to wherever he was working, and he'd water the horses. And one time I was up there and my dad saw gypsies coming. He said, "Now get back to the house as quick as you can and tell your mama gypsies are coming." Boy, did I go. I bet there wasn't a drop of water left in that barrel. But that horse and I went. Because gypsies were... Now that's what I was afraid of.
Yeah. Because, yeah, I remember them too.
Yeah. Because everybody... Well, they steal things.
Yeah. They slip around.
Yeah.
Some of them talking to you. The
yeah. They'd steal chickens and anything they could get their hands on. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, how did they travel? Were they on horses or?
No,
they had wagons, didn't they? Wagons is what I remember seeing.
I was thinking old cars even after.
Yeah, but at first, when we lived on the farm, I think they had wagons.
Wow.
With a deal over the top, you know.
Mm. Covered wagon.
Yeah, kind of like covered wagons, only they weren't covered wagons. They were more wagons like what we used on the farm. Is the way I remember it, but you probably remember better than I do.
I don't remember my road in the covered wagon. I was too young to remember that.
Yeah, but do you remember the gypsies?
No, I don't ever have seen any
you
gypsies.
You don't?
Mm-hmm. They never come far away, I guess.
I must have always been in the middle of everything.
You must have been.
Because with your...
On a more traveled road, probably, than hers.
Well, I might have been, too. And you lived off of the road mm-hmm. a ways, too. Where she was raised, there used to be a town there named Ona, Oklahoma.
Gulf.
And but they, you know, there was a post office there.
Mm-hmm. The store. Mm-hmm. And Danny could tell you all about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that was pretty interesting.
Goff.
Uh-huh. And we used to, not me, but my parents. This was before they were married. That they each had their own homestead. They'd go there and get water. Mm-hmm. They'd go over there and get water.
Yeah, I remember a lot of neighbors used to get the first well, I guess.
That was before my time.
Yeah.
That was probably the only well in the country.
It must have been, 'cause lots of people came then.
Yeah. And it was quite a little ways from where my mother lived.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was.
Well, does anything stand out in your mind that made you think that, whoa, this is hard times, that suddenly things are a little bit tougher than they used to be?
We didn't know any better.
No.
We didn't have a used to be. I didn't have a used to be because I was pretty young. I was probably about, let's see. I was 7 when we moved to town, and that was in 28. And the dirt storms, you think it was 33. I couldn't remember if it was 33 or 35. I knew it was around
33.
Well, it may have been.
I wouldn't just swear, but I hadn't mind the best.
Well, you probably remember it. I didn't, I'm not sure, but I was thinking 35. But anyway, you know, kids that age don't have a lot of remembrance. Well, of times past. I remember that we ate good and we went to town every day every week when we lived on the farm. And I always had candy, and I always had pop, and I always had this, and I always had that. I guess I was spoiled. You know, really. I was only me.
Well, I guess I was always spoiled, too, because I didn't very often do anything I didn't want to do. They never did make me mind very much being the youngest one in the family.
My dad didn't. I could never do any wrong with him, but my mother made me mind, and I'm thankful that she did.
If you don't mind saying, what would be your punishment? Like you said earlier, you climb up on the windmill and you get in trouble.
I'd get a spanking.
Yeah? Did you ever make you stand in the corner?
I don't think that was hard enough on me.
I don't think any of that was in other kids. You got spanking. I got it.
At home, you got a spanking. At school, you might have been standing in the corner for something.
Boy, I remember the first day of school. I didn't know we had a living soul in Keys. And I went to school. I was 7 years old. I went to school. And a girl, Roe Jean Hughes, you remember her?
Yeah.
She was sitting in front of me. She turned around and was talking to me. I never opened my peeper. Boy, I never said one word. I was so scared. I'd never been in a classroom, and my mother and my sister, both teachers, and I'd never been in a schoolroom. I didn't know. I could read and all that kind of stuff. I read out loud. I got in trouble for that. And I got in trouble for Roe Jean Hughes turning around whispering to me. I got put in the broom closet. She got stood on the outside. There were spiders in there too, Merle.
She would have enjoyed that.
Oh, yeah. But that was scary. And you know, I never liked that teacher.
I bet not.
And my kids all had her, and they never knew this story as long as she lived. Because they wouldn't have liked her then if I'd have told them. My kids all went to school to her. But I was so scared that, you know, it's scary to take somebody out from the country and move them into town and put them in a classroom. I never saw so many kids in all my life.
Well, go ahead.
No,
go ahead. This is your interview. You have to talk.
You know, I told her about that, and she just never remembered that. But I told my mother when I got home. And my mother never said one word against that teacher. She never said anything.
She was a teacher, that's right.
Yeah, because she was a teacher. But I know, and my mother never told me this, but I know she went and talked to her. I know she did. Because as I knew my mother, you know, she wouldn't have taken it sitting down. But never did she say one word against that teacher. And that was good. I didn't like her, but I went to school to her.
Well, is there anything that sticks out in your mind that was the end of the hard times? When did things get better?
Yeah,
probably when it started raining.
Those storm days,
we had very, very little rain. And then when it came the time that it started raining again, come back like normal.
Mm-hmm. And raise wheat.
Yeah. And maize.
Uh-huh.
We raised maize when we just had horses.
Yeah.
Go and cut. I remember when my dad, and I think Emily helped do it too, cut that maize head off with a knife and throw it in the wagon. That was how they harvested that. And then they had a fresh machine or something to run, get the grain out.
I did some of that too. After married, we cut maize by hand.
Yeah.
Pulled broom corn.
Yeah. We never did have a broom corn. We never did raise any.
That was some Colorado from my sister lived there.
But some people, not too far north here, you know, had broom corn. Made brooms. I mean, they harvest that, and that's what the brooms are made from.
Yeah. You know, back even dirties, when I went to Stillwater to the 4-H roundup down there, we stopped somewhere, I don't know where, and went into a cafe and ate dinner. And it probably cost 15 cents, you know. And you know what? One of the things we had? We had some greens. And they were growing Russian thistles. is what they were. See, nothing grew out here. We didn't even have Russian thistles then. Nothing grew green because there was just no moisture. But down there, they were growing, and they cooked them. And the way I remember, they weren't bad. They were pretty good. Did you ever eat any?
Not that I remember of. Anyway.
Well, that's the only place that I ever had any, but I remember that. That was during the 30s.
I remember one time I went over to Spadlin's, and my folks, and she wanted me to, Elderly wanted me to stay now. So they had those thistles for dinner, and that was the first thing I'd ever seen. When I got home, the first thing I told Mother, we've been eating real some thistles. So then once in a while, we put some up in our nice quarter.
I never did ever see any green thing growing that I can remember during that time.
That was a little before the... When I was younger, we didn't have the Dust Bowl. I was married about time in the Dust Bowl.
Most of them wouldn't survive.
I don't think they would.
Because they had to live like people used to.
I wouldn't if I had to eat Russian thistles.
Well, don't knock it.
They don't taste bad.
And lamb's quarter is good.
Yeah, lamb's quarter. Mother used to can that.
Yeah. But, you know, the Russian thistles, of course, I'm sure they were very small because they were tender.
Yeah,
that's right.
But you know, lamb's quarter, she used to plant that in the garden.
Yeah, yeah.
I let mine come
and
the wild in the garden.
Cannons, you know,
I picked some, gave Mrs. Harriman and Ruth and milk.
Yeah, yeah.
But Mother always had a garden, a pretty good-sized garden.
And we did, too.
She canned lots of stuff. Mm-hmm.
Well, during the dirties, you just couldn't raise anything.
No, that's right.
You just couldn't.
Looked like a desert, didn't it?
Yeah, it really was a desert, wasn't it? The sand just blew way high. Mildred was talking about the sand blown up, you know, all way high on that house. I remember a lot of that. And it had covered fences up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe then tomorrow it'd come from a different direction, blow some amount.
It really did.
Yes, it did. That's not a fairy tale, is it?
Well, what was the impression in your family of FDR and the New Deal and how that was supposed to help the people in the panhandle of Oklahoma? Do you remember any talk your parents or in town?
Wasn't Hoover president then? Mm-hmm. Wasn't he president during that time?
Yeah, Roosevelt. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then they had the...
WPA.
Yeah, mm-hmm. WPA is one thing. To give men jobs to make, you know. Mm-hmm. And,
did you know people that worked on WPA projects?
Mm-hmm. We had the schoolhouse, the high school that I graduated from was a WPA project. It's still standing, but it's been condemned.
Yeah.
But
the only thing I remember about Roosevelt was he'd come to Amarillo when he was campaigning one time under the doodads, but he thought we had to go down there so I could see him. That was the only president like that I ever seen.
I don't even remember that. See, I never went.
No, just me and Daddy's the only ones that went.
Yeah.
And he took me down there, and Roosevelt was in a wheelchair, and he was out on the, I don't know what they call, observation thing at the back of the train, but he was sitting down in the wheelchair. I got to see him, and I've still got a campaign button that they passed out down there that day. It's a little blue one about this big with Roosevelt.
Isn't that neat?
Across it.
You need to present that to the museum with a story. They would like that.
Uh-huh.
They would. Because that's really something.
But he figured that was the closest that I'd ever be to seeing a president, I guess.
Most of them never did see one at all.
Had to take me down there. So we went.
That was nice. I didn't ever know that. I wonder how come you didn't throw that up to me sometime.
Well, I imagine that there had been several who would have liked to win if they'd have known that he was going to take me, but it was just me and him that went.
I probably wouldn't have had the money to have gone.
So was your dad favorable towards Roosevelt, or just because he was the president he wanted you to see?
Just the president. He thought that that would be the closest I'd ever been to seeing the president, which it has been. But they had people that went, you know, around through the crowd and stuff and passed out those little campaign buttons and about that big round, about the size of a quarter, and they were dark blue with Roosevelt printed across them.
That was neat. I didn't know I knew a celebrity back then. That was neat.
Well, how do you think you were personally affected having lived through the Depression and the Dirty 30s?
I think it made us stronger.
Tougher.
Tougher. Able to handle obstacles. Problems that came. Because it hadn't always, wasn't always a life full of roses without a lot of thorns. And it made you appreciate the good times more.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, is there anything that we didn't touch on that you want to talk about?
We talked about a lot of things you didn't intend to touch on.
Well, we talked about a lot of things we don't even think of because we didn't live through the Dust Bowl.
That picture up there is a picture of my granddaughter. She was an All-State softball first baseman, and she's also in the Softball Hall of Fame in Virginia.
Wow.
The team that she played on was called the Sooner Dusters, and they played in Detroit, Michigan, and the team that she played with, and they won the world title that year, and so that's how come her to be in the Hall of Fame.
Wow.
Which boy was that? Which boy?
That's Doug's girl.
Who's
Doug's?
Oh.
Doug. Douglas. We always called him Douglas till he went off to college, and then they shortened it to Doug, and now he's Doug to everybody.
They have a way of doing that, don't they? Mm-hmm.
She's in Chicago right now getting her master's degree.
Oh, well, that's wonderful.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. So she's supposed to graduate in December. Mm-hmm.
We never did. We didn't. I didn't mention, but, and I don't know if this pertains to anything you're doing, but when I grew up, and even after I was married, for that matter, my dad, in my family, there was a lot of music. Uh-huh. And we always, from the time I can remember, we either had an organ, a pump organ, or a piano, and almost every Sunday afternoon, there would be people who would come, the ones who sang, you know, and my dad would, you know, well, you better come over and we'll have a singing this afternoon. And so there would be several people who would come for the singing, and he'd get out his stamps convention books and we'd have a singing almost, I mean, many Sunday afternoons. And that's what we did for, you know, when I was, and even after I was married, they, you know, he still did that. And it was neat, I think. So I still have a lot of music in my family with my grandkids, my great-grandkids.
Yeah.
Of course, I just have four greats, so.
Oh, they're
anyhow, they're really, they're kind of little performers. They performed last night at my queen
room. Oh, I bet that's so sweet.
Yeah, it's really neat. My granddaughter sings beautiful, she sang.